the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one Lord, amen. Today's passage from the Bible, from the Gospel, begins with a theological question. That theological question asked is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And by the end of the passage, which we're going to finish reading today, is that our Lord begins to tell him a story, a parable of the Good Samaritan. And so the question that begins with, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, ends with giving first aid on the side of the road. The Gospel begins with giving the greatest commandment, which is loving the Lord your God and your neighbour. It ends by a payment for a hotel room. What is it about this parable that makes it so profound? Hail, one of the greatest parables ever spoken by Lord Jesus Christ, has become so well known nowadays that you could ask anybody, someone does a good deed, you say to them, oh, you're such a good Samaritan, it will be understood. The parable of a good Samaritan holds within it so much depth, and the answer to this very difficult question of what shall I do to inherit eternal life. The question was asked by a lawyer. The lawyer comes and he came testing Christ. You know, the lawyers back then were not like the lawyers now. The lawyers now are experts in secular law. In Jewish times, the lawyer was an expert in Jewish law. There was no real separation between religious life and secular life. And so a lawyer was someone who was an expert in the law of Moses, someone who was an expert in the Torah. Probably knew it off by heart, the whole Torah known off by heart. And this person comes to Christ, testing him, saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And our Lord responds to him and says to him, what's written in the law? You're a lawyer, you know the law very well. What's written in the law? What do you think? And so he answered and said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And our Lord said to him, you have right, and he said, do this and you will live. This lawyer was so well versed in the law, not only knew it back to front, but he was able to boil it down to its essence, which is loving God and loving neighbor. That's all it's about. He understood that very well. And our Lord responds to him and says to him, well done. That's correct. Now all you need to do now is go and do it. Love your neighbor. And the man, being a bit frustrated, says to him, all right, then who is my neighbor? And then our Lord begins this parable of the Good Samaritan, which I'd like to have a look at today. And Lord tells him, look, there's a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as he was traveling, a band of thieves came his way, bashed him, stripped him naked, took his money, robbed him, and left him for dead on the side of the road. And then, as he was lying there in his wounds, unable to move, a priest, a Jewish priest, walks past, looks at him, and wants nothing to do with him, and continues walking. After that, a Levite comes, again, an expert in Judaism, walks past, sees him, does nothing, and leaves. Then a Samaritan comes along. And you know, a Samaritan back then is like you're swearing at somebody. To call someone a Samaritan was the most insulting description you could give to somebody. And we know that from the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus. The Samaritan woman was so shocked that a Jew was speaking to her. They were the worst enemies that ever existed in the face of this planet. They would not even speak to each other. So we know that for our Lord Christ to say that a Samaritan comes past was a very shocking thing for the Jews to hear. And he says, the Samaritan walks past, the Samaritan saw him in his wounds. He went to him. He healed him. He bandaged him. He took him up on his own donkey, rode him to the closest inn, gave the money that he would stay in that room, anointed him with oil and gave him wine, paid the bill, and said, I'll come again to pay the rest of any money this person needs. And then our Lord tells him, that's your neighbor. That's what you need to be doing. Go and do likewise. So why is it that this very simple description of loving God and loving neighbor, offering a helping hand to somebody, seems sometimes so difficult in our life? The first question we should ask ourselves in the parable of the Good Samaritan is, who are we in this story? You know, if you read any modern commentary on the parable of the Good Samaritan, they'll always make it out as if it's a moral exhortation, that you need to become like the Good Samaritan. When you see somebody on the road, reach out and help. Don't be like the priest or the Levite who just ignored. Reach out and help. And that's what every modern sort of commentary will say. But if you look to the church fathers, they don't say that at all. The church fathers don't ask us to identify ourselves with the Good Samaritan. The church fathers tell us to identify yourself with the wounded man. We are wounded. We are broken. We have been stripped naked by Satan. We have been robbed. We are hurt. We are lying dead on the side of the road. And the Good Samaritan, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. The fathers explain in such a deep and beautiful way that they say in the parable when it says that, so he went to him, the Samaritan went to him, is the whole story of the incarnation, that God comes to us. As he bandaged his wounds, it's as if we are being healed by the sacrament of confession. Pouring oil and wine is the sacraments of baptism, unction, and the Eucharist. He put him on his own donkey as if he's putting us on his own body. He takes him to the inn, which is taking him to the church. He asks the innkeeper to look after him. The innkeeper are the priests and the bishops. And so the whole story of the Good Samaritan is calling us to identify ourselves with the one who is wounded, with the wounded man, and our Lord Jesus Christ, being the Good Samaritan, comes along. And all the church fathers say that. And Augustine says this: robbers left you dead on the road, but you have been found lying there by the passing and kindly Samaritan. Wine and oil have been poured on you. You have received the sacrament of the only begotten Son. You have been lifted onto his mule. You have believed that Christ became flesh. You have been brought to the inn, and you have been cured in the church. I believe the biggest problem that we have, and the difficulty that we have to do good, and to love, and to sacrifice, is that we don't identify ourselves with this wounded man. We seek to become this Good Samaritan without first understanding that we were once a wounded person. Sometimes we shy away from confession, or we shy away from the idea that I need to come and seek forgiveness and healing in the church. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Why should I go spend time with a priest in confession? I don't do anything wrong. There's a story I heard recently by Abundu Lamin, and he was saying a story that was said to him by Abuna Rafael Avamina, who was the secretary of Pope Provost. And Abuna Rafael Avamina was saying a story about Pope Provost. And he was saying that every month a certain priest would come and sit with Pope Provost so that Pope Provost would have confession once a month. And one of these sittings, while Pope Provost was having confession to his confession father, Abuna Rafael Avamina, the secretary of the Pope, decided that he would take for them some tea while they're sitting together. And he walked in on them while the Pope was having confession to give him some tea. I don't know why he wanted to give him tea while he was having confession, but it's besides the point. And he said that he walked in and he found Pope Provost with his head hanging low, and the priest rebuking the Pope, saying to him, how could you do that? You're the Pope. Can hope do that? And the Pope crawls with his head hanging low. If Pope crawls, the saint, the most modern saint of our church, understood the meaning and the importance of coming to the church, of coming to the sacrament, of coming to Christ broken to receive healing, then what about each and every single one of us? Another story that Pope Crawlos, again said by Gunnar for Ila Domina, is that in his office area, in his own private room, he used to receive a lot of letters from people. Some letters would say to him, "Oh, Your Holiness, you're the best, you're so good, thank you for your prayers have been answered, you're like miracles in our life, you're amazing." And Gunnar for Ila said that every time Pope Crawlos would receive a letter like this, he would rip it up and chuck it out. And every now and then, he would receive a letter abusing him about something. The Pope would take that letter, underline the areas of abuse, and put them up standing around his desk, on his room, and he would write on it a comment saying, "You deserve this, Crawlos." And his secretary would collect all of these papers and put them away. And the Pope would come back and tell off Abuna Rafael and say, "Don't touch my stuff." He would always remind himself that he is in need of healing. Because when we understand that we are in need of healing, and we seek that healing from the church and from Christ and through the sacraments, then I can have the strength to love and to serve and to become the Good Samaritan. Once I identify myself with the wounded man, I can then understand who my neighbor really is. As a Christian, I understand who my neighbor really is. It was once said that to the Greek, every foreigner was a barbarian. To the Jew, every stranger was a Gentile dog. To the Muslim, every alien was an infidel. But to Jesus, every man, stranger, friend or foe, was a brother. To Christ, every human was a brother. And that is our calling as Christians, that we don't ask the question, as this lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" But I ask the question, "Who can be my neighbor? Who needs a neighbor?" And this is the question that we are called to ask as Christians, not who is my neighbor, but who can be my neighbor and who needs a neighbor. There was once a survey done where there was in the city, I'm not sure which country this was in, but there was a large crowd of people standing, waiting for the man to turn green so they could cross the road. And while they're waiting for the man to turn green, a survey was done, and they quickly asked everybody standing on that corner where they're going. What is their circumstance in life right now? Amongst that one crowd, at any given moment, of people crossing a busy intersection, this was some of the things that was found in this survey. A boy headed to be conscripted to the army, a new widow, a woman seeking a divorce, a man with an incurable disease, a girl with a toothache, a couple trying to borrow money, a family on its way to pick out a casket. We don't need to look too far to find neighbors to serve. We don't need everybody around us is in need. Everybody around us is wounded. I was the first to be wounded and healed. And then I look around and I see around me all my neighbors who also need the same healing from our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to see everyone and to take the chance. Whenever I have a chance, I take them. Not long ago, I went to visit somebody in hospital. And it was after a mass to give them Holy Communion. So I said to Abuna, "Abuna, are you free to come with me to give this person Holy Communion?" And Abuna said, "I can come with you, but I need to be back at church by 11 a.m. because somebody's coming to see me. Can you guarantee me you'll be back here by 11 a.m? I don't know, Abuna, I'll speed, I'll go nuts, I'll do it all. You'll be back here by 11 a.m., I promise you." So we went. And as we walked into the hospital, an old lady from the church, who I don't know very well, but she was walking out of the hospital. So I'm in rush mode, I can't say that, and I'm walking in, I'm getting this done. And then I look back and I find the woman stopped and he's talking with this old woman. So I walk back and I found him asking her, how are you getting home? And she said, I'm catching a taxi. He goes, no, don't catch a taxi. Wait here for us. We're going to give this person communion. We'll come back out and we'll take you home. And I'm thinking, this is not going to help me getting him back to church by 11 a.m. But whatever, hopefully she gets close and we can make it all fit in and it'll be all right. We do the visit, we come back out, the woman is standing waiting, and the woman says to her, have you had breakfast yet? And she said, oh no, woman, it's alright. He says, no, come, let's go to the cafe and have some breakfast and a coffee. I go, okay, this is not going to work, but okay. Let's go have breakfast and a coffee. So then we had the coffee and nice chat with Tom from the church. And as we went to walk back to the car, she was walking extremely slowly. So I said to the woman, look, I'm going to run, get the car. I'll meet you at the front with the woman. And so I bolted to the car. I got the car, came to the front. She got in. I took her home. Thank God she didn't live too far. Got to the house. See you, Tom. And then a woman gets out of the car, holds her hand, and walks her to her door. At that point, I pulled out my phone and took a picture of the scene. And this is, you know, we got to like 1 p.m., forget about that. But the lesson learned that everybody is in need, and I'm not in a rush in this world to achieve things or to get things done, but my real calling is to look around to see a neighbour, to see somebody that I can reach out and open hand to. Why? Because I myself, first and foremost, have been healed. Sometimes we think we don't do anything wrong, we don't hurt anybody, but just being indifferent, just not seeking to help, is the wrong. Father Anthony Kaniaras, Orthodox priest, says this little prayer. He says, I never cut my neighbour's throat. My neighbor's gold I never stole. I never spoiled his house or land. But God have mercy on my soul, for I am haunted day and night by all the deeds that I have not done. Our Lord ends this parable by saying to the lawyer, go and do likewise. You were broken, you were naked, I've clothed you, I've healed you, I have loved you. Just go and do likewise. Just love with my love. Heal with my healing. Care with my care. I only transfer what Christ has done for me to the other. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to university and I met with a Catholic priest who joined the university Coptic Society group. And I was chatting with the Catholic priest and I asked him, how was it that you became a priest? Like, what was your journey? Why did you become a priest? He said that in my youth, I suffered from severe loneliness. I was extremely lonely and nobody could feel my loneliness until I reached out to God. And God healed me of this very severe loneliness. After he healed me of my loneliness, I thought to myself, what way can I help other people who are lonely? And so I thought, if I can become a priest, then I'll have the chance to help others who are lonely. He received healing. He wanted to take that healing and pass it on to another. And this is all we are called to realize in our life. That if we ask this very important question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Our Lord responds and tells us, first realize that you are wounded, you are naked, you have been healed. And then look around, see who is your neighbor, and go and do likewise. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.